I feel sometimes that I could have gone further if I were not Jewish? Sure, maybe so. But if I had the means and wherewithal to have gone to the best schools in the country and made the best contacts, the network with the most effective people, sure, I might have done other things. But I certainly would never look back and say that because of anti-Semitism I didn't do this or didn't get there, didn't do that. I'm not unaware of the fact that it always lurks in the background. One can't have come through the years that I did without knowing that. But do I pay any attention to it? Does it keep me up at night? Do I feel that I've been discriminated against in a way that's kept me from achieving sufficient work to give me satisfaction that the life has been lived in a way that I can be proud of? No, I really can't.
Is there anything you might have done differently if you had a chance?
If I hadn't been Jewish? Or
no, just generally.
Sure. I wouldn't have gone to school in the same town which I lived. I think that was, that's the reason I said to my children, I think it's very important to sort of break away. I think it's important to get different cultures. I'd have gotten out of the country, tried to understand more about world culture. I've learned more about a lot of things. I would have improved my language skills. I would have taken a different degree at three different universities instead of getting all my degrees at one. It wasn't that I was totally unaware of that, it's just that economically it wasn't feasible to do anything besides that. So there are a lot of things, but I don't regret any of that. I mean, I can't believe the luck that I've had in being able to sort of stay here and feel rather fulfilled that I've had a productive life. So I could have done things different if things had been different. I would have done things differently, but you know, who knows whether it would have meant more to me in the long run. I mean, I have a loving family. I have good friends. I'm in a community where I'm reasonably respected, and I feel I'm in a position where I've done some things that I think contributed to the benefit of the community I'm in. What more does one want out of life? So I have no regrets. Sure, there are things everybody would have done differently. You might have put more confidence in somebody you put less confidence in, or you might have spoken more sharply to someone you let get away with something. But in general, I have no regrets. And as I say, I view each day as a dividend. I'm sort of, in a sense, my dance card has been filled. And I just consider each day as a kind of sort of encore that isn't deserved, but it's gratefully appreciated when it comes. And if everybody, I think, had the opportunities that I've had, I should think they'd be very satisfied people. Not smug. I'm not smug about anything, and I've got a lot of learning to do yet, and a lot of mountains if I want to climb them, to climb, but I don't sit and pine for the opportunity to climb somebody else's mountain. I'm very pleased from my perch in the tree, and look around at everybody else perched in their trees, and from my point of view, my branches are growing pretty well, thank you.
What a nice thing to be able to say. Could we just take a few minutes more to reflect upon your 25 years as dean of the business school? How many students are in the school now?
Well, I guess it depends how you count it, but as many as 4,000 students a year pass through the programs for which I have responsibility. There may be maybe 1,100 MBA students, 160 or so doctoral students, another 500 dual major students, maybe 700 undergraduate business students in the College of General Studies, 2,000 executive development and continuing education students. So there are lots of students running around. There's probably about 135 staff or 145 staff by this time in this building, a lot of space.
What do you consider your major accomplishments within the school?
Oh, I see my major accomplishments as being a facilitator to provide an environment for the faculty and the students to develop and learn and increase their capabilities. I think that as an administrator, you're sort of a symphony leader. You sort of stand up there and wave the baton a little bit and hope somebody looks at you and time. But that's about all you can do. You can't do much yourself. You just have to facilitate the activities of others. So I think that if I've been an active and effective facilitator for progress which individual faculty and students have made, that, you know, I mean, I don't think it makes any sense to take credit for things. You could say, well, gee, in your administration, this building was built, and that's a great accomplishment. But I didn't build the building. I didn't get down there through the foundation. I didn't pay for it. I just went out and helped to raise the money for it. But so I think that, that the greatest accomplishment is the opportunity to facilitate the development of a respected school here and to improve its national image and to make it a better working place for the people who conduct their careers here.
And it was renamed the Katz School of Business in what year?
About 87, I think. And that was in honor of Jones and Katz, who provided a substantial endowment for the school.
Could you tell us about the president of the University of Business Dean's Group that you headed?
Tell you about my term as president?
Mm-hmm.
Or?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are 700 members of the American Assembly Collegiate Schools of Business, and one of us gets designated to be president every year. And you're probably going to ask me, was I the first Jewish president of that organization? I probably was, because there aren't very many Jewish business school deans, so I probably was. I haven't gone back and looked at every name, but they all look like good Christian names to me, what I've seen. And that primarily is a representational job. You need to go out and speak to meetings of deans around the country and direct the board of directors, which is in charge of accreditation programs for all of the business schools. So I did all those things. Spent a lot of time flying around the country, talking to different meetings, and representing the Assembly Association in different organizational settings, meeting with board of directors, interfacing with the permanent staff of the organization, trying to get a few initiatives going that would mark my administration as different from somebody else's. I've got some studies ongoing. About four or five white papers came out of the initiatives that I started at ACSB, focused on some of the major problems facing the organization, trying to get the groups and committees to write papers on that that might be used to change policy.
What year were you president?
About 86, I think. 86 is when I was president. I could go in the other room and get my plaque out. They gave me a gavel. Plaque with a gavel on it at the end, and I think that was the gavel. And so I have enough gavels to last me now.
Would you like to tell us some of your awards and honors?
Well, I'll only tell you one. I really don't want to. I guess guess the only one I have on my resume, so you'll find that out, is Vetker's Pittsburgh, that competition elected me Man of the Year in Education. So I had to dress up in my monkey suit and go down and hear that and videotape. Actually, it was a videotape. It was very similar to the discussions that we've had. Shorter, but they asked me the same kinds of questions about my personal life, about my professional life, and so on. And then the night of the awards, they showed this on big screen television down at the William Penn. You sort of come marching in with your spouse, and they put this vignettes. Of, I still have the tape at home sometime. It was an interview conducted by someone in Becker's Pittsburgh. And so they give you a few minutes of that as part of your background. So, this is not the first time I've been interviewed about these matters, but certainly not as extensively. Some of these stories haven't seen the light of day that I've told you.
Well, we've certainly appreciated it, and it's been very insightful. Is there anything else generally that you would like to add at all?
Oh, I don't think so. I think you've sort of drained me dry of of whatever wisdom there is, and I think I've really told you over these periods of months much about me as I can. The one thing, the conclusion I've come to, that this is not worth including in your series, because as I sort of think through this, I am sure that there are dozens and dozens of people in the community who could tell you similar stories that probably have much bigger endings to them. So I'm flattered that you're here to listen to all this garbage. But it's sort of fun for me to recap 120 years of struggling here. But I think you've got more wisdom than I have to offer. So some of it, I'm afraid, is a lot of pap.
We thank you so much for sharing it with
us. My pleasure. Enjoyed the opportunity.